Good evening, everyone. John Henry Soto here, along with George Batista. As always, welcome to the Counterparts Show. We are very excited to have you here. As always, tonight we're going to be talking about those buildings that they built, those structures that they built in Egypt a long, long time ago. Or was it a long time ago? We don't really know. It could have been like in the 20s and we didn't even know. But because media was back. Anyway, stick around and we're going to talk about those big giant structures. All right. Thank you very much again for joining us this evening and for spending this time with us. We always appreciate it and we love you for doing that because I know that the world has got a lot of things going on and people are getting bombarded with stuff. If you're here, man, that really means a lot to us. So thank you very much. We appreciate it. Yes. George, we're going to be talking today about an interesting subject. But before we do that, why don't we talk about an interesting and fantastic company?
Yes. So, the Counterpart Show is brought to you by Wellness Resources, a family-owned and operated nutritional supplement company providing the highest quality, clinically formulated supplements since 1985. Find out why Wellness Resources supplements are the top choice of health-conscious individuals around the world. Go to myvitaminresource.com. Check out all the supplements that they have available. And if you enter the promo code Counterparts, you will get free shipping on your order. And on top of that, as always, they have their monthly special. And this this month's special is their 25% off their joint and repair supplements and 30% off their repair pack. And by the way, I've been using these supplements for about 17 years now.
Wow.
So, just so you know, and that's why they are some of the best in my opinion. So again, it's myvitaminresource.com, promo code Counterparts, and check out all the supplements, myvitaminresource.com.
All right. Well, this evening, we're going to be discussing the pyramids. Now, there are a lot of pyramids all over the world, obviously, and one of the probably the most famous ones are the ones in Egypt. Would you say those are the most famous ones, I guess?
Yes.
The ones in Egypt. The pyramids of Giza.
Giza.
Or some people pronounce it Giza. and, you know, I was reading a lot about these structures. And, you know, last week we covered UFOs and it was like one of those subjects that we know a lot of people do cover and we're not reinventing the wheel here by covering these stories, but we wanted to have our own take on it documented, and we wanted to kind of just have a little bit of fun with these interesting mysteries of the planet. And we thought the pyramids is definitely a mystery because trying to build those things today is almost impossible. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a certain level of what we're going to talk about, my views on the ones that built it and what I think. But I think what we're going to do is we're going to be covering a little bit about the science of it, the size, location. I wanted to give everyone sort of an idea of where we're looking at here on Earth, you know, like where are the pyramids? You know, I think when I was growing up, I just always thought the pyramids were, you know, really, really far somewhere, you know, way down like around Grand Concourse. And in the Bronx, I thought it was like way over there. And I'm thinking, I'm never going to go to Grand Concourse. I'm not getting on the 4th train again. So, but no, it's even farther than that. So I'm going to give you guys a little bit of mass of where it is. I have a map here. Now you could see here the letter B. I don't know why it's B, actually. It says B, but that's where we're located for boy, I guess.
Batista.
Oh, Batista, there you go. So that's where I am. George is actually where the star is. So you're where the star is.
Yes.
But I'm in Tennessee right now. And Egypt, if you can see the little red dot there, that's where Egypt is. I mean, that's where the pyramids are. As a matter of fact, that dot is exactly on top of where the pyramids are. And it's very interesting to see them. You know, I mean, it is in Africa, you know, obviously, right? This is you know, and so it's a very, when I saw this, you know, years ago, obviously I didn't just see this today, but, I just learned it.
Learned about the pyramids today, John?
Just learned it that this thing is not even around Grand Concourse. But yeah, I realized, you know, that there's just so much other, places in that area. Like, you know, there's so many, for us to have only those pyramids in that one little area, there's just got to be a lot more that we just have not uncovered. Because remember, the pyramids were buried for a long, you know, for, you know, thousands of years, and were under sand. You know, I think somebody was walking and they tripped over a little point and they just started digging. And how deep does this go? And they just kept going. And, you know, I'm thinking, assuming that's what happened. But that gives you a little bit of a, you know, just a directional of where they're actually located. And then one other thing that I thought was interesting, I went to Google Maps, which I do often, to just look at the world and to look at different parts of the world and stuff. And I wanted to see the pyramids where they are. And for some odd reason, when they don't show them, they show them like this. So they're still buried. So I don't know if that's done on purpose, or if I don't know. Or maybe it is all sand and they just haven't, you know, because obviously, you know, with Google Maps, you got to get a car, right? Google car, you know, the car's got to drive around there and stuff. And
yeah, but they're cars that drive around there.
That's what I'm saying. But I don't, maybe Google, the Google car, you know, can't get through there.
Yeah, it is kind of weird how, like, where I used to live, I literally can get a Google map and I'm standing in the middle of the street and I could see a 360 degree view of all the houses on that street.
Isn't that weird? I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah, the pyramids who have been there for, yeah, forget about it. You can't even see that.
Yeah, it's nothing. It's like half covered. So I don't know where that came from. It's very bizarre. But anyway, and that's just on that map. I don't know if, I mean, that's Google Maps. So I don't know if there's another map that maybe has them and it's a little bit more clearer than that. But anyway, that gives us that. So do you have any stats for us?
I do actually. Just a few stats on the one that's probably the most famous, which is the Great Pyramid of Giza. Giza. Yes. So this pyramid is 481 feet tall. And it's made from 2.3 million blocks. Okay. The insanity of this is that some of these blocks weigh upwards of 50 tons.
Yes.
It's just unbelievable.
You talk about a Lego obsession.
Yes, exactly. And for centuries, this was the tallest building on Earth. For many, many centuries it was. And each side is 755 feet, as far as, you know, from the length of each side. And the interesting thing is that each side actually is off by a roughly maybe an inch and a half to 2 inches.
Yeah, yeah. And that probably has to do with movement of...
Exactly, here, exactly.
Right? Probably was at one point perfect.
Yeah, no, exactly. Well, it's the same corrosion thing as when you look at directionally where it is, it's actually pointing to true north.
Right, that's another...
And they say that it's off of true north by, you know, a very small margin. And that's probably, again, because the axis of the earth actually shifts over time.
Correct.
So it was probably perfect when they did it.
Yeah. And that's one of the mysteries of you know, why. And you can, you know, there's so many different things, like the Anunnakis, you know, they talk about they were the ones that kind of built it and they had these big brains and they had, you know, whatever that they talk about, you know, when I say they, I mean me too, because I talk about that. I'm part of that group.
Your brain is not that big though.
Yeah. You know, it's very fascinating, very fascinating to see how, you know, the different ideas that people have on how they were built, you know what I mean? Because if you go to, you know, there's certain people in Egypt, I mean, certain archaeologists, very well-known archaeologists, that have said that these were built by the slaves, and that they put these stones on these logs.
50 tons.
50 tons on a log, and just rolled them. Now, and then they rolled them up around, you know, and they will put them into place. It is, I just find that incredibly, it just does not make sense for some
people. Well, I think they debunk,
was there light bulbs found in the pyramid? I'm not sure. It did say in there soft white. In there. No, actually, I don't.
LEDs now.
Yeah. It had GM on it, or GE was on the top.
but the point of the thing was, I think they apparently debunked the whole thing about it being built by slaves.
Right. Yeah. That's been debunked, except, I mean, there are still a minority, I guess, of people that do still believe that was built by, you know, the slaves and you know, but there was a theory a few years ago that I saw that they thought that these were actually energy towers.
Yes.
That they had some liquid at the bottom, and then that they poured some stuff in and it created like, and it shot into, I don't know how exactly, but it shot into space, sort of you know, these lights and stuff, and it was a sort of like a light energy source that was used. You know, so was a very interesting.
You know, who was one of the first people who actually had a theory similar to that?
Desi Arnaz?
No, it was Lucy. No, no, she created Star Trek. It was Nikolai Tesla.
Yes.
Tesla was obsessed. He was obsessed with the pyramids at one point, and he actually talked about energy and the you know, that whole thing. So he went heavily into that.
Yeah, and the chamber they found in this particular documentary that I watched, they found there was a certain layer that was the walls were a different composite than everything else. Like almost like there was a liquid there. Like, you know, when you have a flood in a neighborhood, and the flood's there for a long time, and then the water goes down and you have that rim of that. So there is something like that. So they were wondering that could this actually have been a light source, or could it have been one of those Hollywood lights when there's a movie premiere? As simple as that. They just got really into it. But yeah, I mean, I think that's really a fascinating thing. Like, you know, they say, okay, they were built for the pharaohs, you know, they were built for kings, right? Because there was an idea that would shoot them back into the heavens,
right,
along with all their possessions and stuff would go up. That was debunked fairly quickly as soon as the grave robbers got in and took everything.
Yes,
and these poor gods got up there without their ColecoVision or PS4s and stuff. So, you know, the frustration of anyone that was protecting the grave. I mean, you figure that there was somebody protecting the graves for a while, and then over time it was just like, I'm not gonna keep going there and standing there all day long just trying to protect. There's nothing in there, you know. And then somebody just kind of like left their post, and then that's when, or it was an inside job, and the guy was like, hey, Tony is on tonight, why don't we see if, you know, we'll give him half of the money if he lets us in. And then it goes, all right. And then him and Jerry and Tony met there, and they took whatever they can, and they gave Tony a really good thing, you know. And all he has to do is just stand there, because nobody's going in. So nobody has to know its stuff is gone anyway. Right? I mean, nobody has to know. Yeah. So then it's like, yeah, exactly. It's like a good fellow, like Lufthansa heist.
You know. But it's very interesting, because, you know, you there's so many theories on why these things were built. First of all, apparently it took them, they guessed that it took them about 20 years to build, right? And if you follow the theory of men actually dragging these blocks, right? It was apparently 600 men roughly can drag one block, right? So the amount of manpower that and the amount of people that you just had to and do
organization.
That's the big piece that's because there had to be unbelievable organization in this thing.
Now there's, you know, I mean, to Christina had a good point about the light bulbs, right? Because it is, if it was sort of like a light source, or if it was a source for energy that was needed, that was like a desperation from the people, then you might be able to get 600 men, like, you know, like the Civil War, for instance, you know what I mean? You get recruits and people go out and they fight, and, you know, and because there's an honor there and they're protecting their families and the country and stuff, right? So you could have that if there was something that was really needed as far as an energy source, they were going to die or whatever was going to happen. But the organizing of 600 men to into place on a daily basis, you know, now they were saying they were slaves. That would not fly for 20 years. Those slaves, first of all, 600 men is a lot of men. They're going to uproar. They're going to uprise, I should say. You know, there's going to be somebody, you know, and it's probably going to be Tony. And he's going to be
Tony.
Yeah, he's going to be getting everybody together. He's like the Jimmy Hoffa back then, you know what I mean? Right. And he organized.
He's buried under there.
Yeah. He's at one of the corners. So, you know, he's probably, you know, somebody organized. They wanted to get a union started, and then they started a big riot. That must have happened a long time, you know, many, many times. And they built three of these suckers. I mean, one great one and then two smaller ones for son and wife and a couple of other little tiny ones for, I think one was for a chihuahua. I'm just kidding. But there were smaller ones around.
But if you think about it, but here's my thing on this. I mean, if you think about if these things were supposedly erected, let's just say they were erected for gods. Well, wouldn't it be very easy for the governmental bodies of the time to convince the masses that they must do this for the gods?
Correct. Correct.
Right? Wouldn't that, if you think about it, I mean, the government convinces people to this day to do pretty much all kinds of shit.
Right. Yeah. Right? That's a good point. Yeah. And I think also the fear that if they don't, bad things would happen.
Exactly.
That's the fear that you instill. You know, I mean, I guess, sadly, but it's been going on for a very, very long time to fear people into doing things. Right. You know, like I was at the Walmart and I did not want to get Time Warner, but they made me scared that my Verizon was going to be cut and was going to go up in price. I got scared. I'm not going to lie, you know, and I went for it and I got Time Warner. Turned out to be really good too. It really helped. But so simple things like that. Now, if you start looking at the gods punishing people and all that, you know, then you can get people to do that, you know.
Right, right.
It's still far-fetched physically that they can do it.
Yes, now, because also, it can't be because they can't do it today. I mean, but again,
and I want to talk about that too, about the fact that they can't do it today. But remember, the limestone that they have for this pyramid were like a thousand miles away.
Wait, so they had to bring that over, right?
Over. That's right. Number one, right? Now there's no drag. There would be drags, and there would be lines for thousands of miles,
right? Right.
You know, some kind of way of bringing people. Yeah, exactly. A road, a highway. Something, a railroad. Yes. There'd be something that they would bring, right? But there was nothing, you know. Now, another thing is that because we're sort of a, let's face it, I mean, we're arrogant this time and space of, you know, we're arrogant to thinking that in the past, people just were not capable, like thousands and thousands of years ago. You know, they were like, oh, they got only rocks and we don't know exactly how advanced these civilizations were. We don't know if they were from this planet, because as we all know now, you know, the Pentagon and today, what was it? Space Force released a thing saying that we have to be ready because we got to be ready to be visited by people, right? So that becomes part of the whole narrative of this. And so back then you start wondering, Well, if they're not from here, you can understand how these things can be built through other ways, through sound, for instance.
Yes, that's another thing they thought about.
Another theory, yes. You know, right. Through sound, like really, really advanced sound machines that can manipulate stone and turn it into the shape that's needed, lift it up and brought to wherever wherever you need it, right. It's just a technology that we just do not have. You know, I'm convinced that the pyramids were not built by just the people that live there now. You know, I mean, I just don't.
So
technology that we don't know about. That
correct. Building. No, they obviously were able to do things that are today considered impossible, right? Even just the mathematics of it. Because at that time, there wasn't this system of mathematics that we know of today. They literally had to, figure things out. But yet when you go inside the tombs and you see especially the limestone, right? Mm-hmm. It's cut literally in completely straight lines to the point where you can't even put a credit card in through it, right?
Correct.
It's that together, and it's amazingly with such precision that nobody knows how to do it. But my thing is, okay, so whatever technology they use, let's just say they use the sound technology. And again, I'm just talking as a lay guy here. Why wouldn't that technology be passed down through the generations?
It wasn't from here.
But think about it. Even if you say that the technology that we have today let's just say the technology that we're using today, we got it from somebody somewhere, an alien that crashed at some point. Okay. Well, the technology that we use today is going to be passed down through generations.
Correct. But that's, we're looking at life, maybe 10,000 years.
Right.
Right. 10,000 years. Now, that's what they're saying, right? But there has been, there's a lot of other proof that's not the case. But for for argument's sake, let's just say that is correct. You know, if you had a group of, now I'm going to go way out there. I'm going to do a ancient aliens conversation, right? If this world that we're on right now is not the only one, right? Now, there's some people that say that the world is flat and that we're just in this firmament, what's it called? We're all trapped into this one location, and and there's ice all around us and we can't pass the ice. And that's where we are right now and that's one theory, right? Mm-hmm. And then there are other people that feel that there are other planets and that there's other life besides this. If there is, right, an advanced civilization, and they, these pyramids also have been found on other planets, right? They've seen these pyramids on Mars, which is not really uncovered as much as you can find it, you know what I mean? And NASA has documented them, and the moon is another place that has these. Again, the moon is one of those controversial places, that people talk about. What is it really? You know what I mean? Is it a dead rock? Is it a space station? Is it, what is it? The dark side of the moon. So if there was a civilization that arrived here and needed to be here for some reason and needed an energy source, but they were super advanced. If you look at some of the photos in the pyramids of of these men and women, their heads, right, were these huge, giant, elongated things that makes you think. And it wasn't their hats. It was just their heads were that way, so it makes you think that they had some other special ability that they can maneuver. They can maneuver things, with their minds, with their energy source. There's a lot of stuff in our head that can be destroyed by some of the stuff that we have here on Earth today. As a matter of fact, the pituitary gland. Can get shrunken by things like fluoride and things like that, And that is like a really, really important part of our brain, as a matter of fact.
Correct.
So if that's developed tremendously, like these guys, and they have a huge, giant pituitary gland, can you imagine what they can do with that? You know, the amount of energy that they can put together to build something. You know,
True.
So that's where that's kind of like out there. You know, but it's fun to have those conversations because the bottom line is that there they are.
Yeah,
there they are.
There they are, and they were
and
built
no one,
to last.
And no one has a definitive answer as to how they were put there. No one can do that.
Nope.
You know, everyone has their speculation. I just had four of them. We just had four of them.
There was a guy. He's an archaeologist who gave up like his job and everything just to study this stuff. And his theory was the internal ramp theory. We've heard the theory that they were external. There was a ramp going to the pyramid, and then there were ramps around the outside of the pyramid that let them bring the blocks in. Well, his theory, when he looks at it and he went there and he looked, you know, inside or whatever, that there was actually a ramp built internally, and that you could actually still see. And I mean, when you really look at it, it made a lot of sense the way, because when you see the corridor and you see the way the corridor is made, and he was saying that he thinks that this is where the little, I guess you would call them like little trolleys that they built would kind of drag through these areas, and they were parts of the rock that were worn away. You could tell it was going all the way up to the top, that type of thing. So, I mean, it seemed interesting, his theory. Now, again, it's a theory.
Yeah.
But I thought it was, you know, but it's one of the theories that a lot of the archaeologists are going, you know what, if you go with the fact that how they got that stuff in and to the top.
Basically. Correct. Yeah. And, you know, the part of it that's interesting is, you know, here we have a map of these pyramids. And so they were built for, obviously, for these different pharaohs. Mm-hmm. Khufu, we all know.
Yes, Khufu.
Khufu. Of course, how can you forget Khafre and Mekhari? So, yeah. And so these pyramids that were, you know, we don't know if this is actually what was, you know, if this was accurate as... They could just say anything. Like the Sphinx, for instance, you know, was added to it. There was stuff that added to it. You can see that the Sphinx was not what that was. You know, it was a completely different thing. Yes. They added all these things to it. So we don't know necessarily that this is actually what it, you know, what history has shown us or has taught us anyway, right?
Right.
And I think one of the things that we've learned, that I've learned through schooling, is that there's a lot of things in history that do not necessarily teach us the possibility that it could be something else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's not really taught in history, or, you know, history is like, they make history be like math. You know, math is an exact thing. Well, I know some people say now it's racist. Certain math equations, but math is an exact thing, right? I mean, math is also like a universal thing, right? Because it's not saying our math, right? That is right. It's just saying that, like, for instance, this thing and this thing make two things, right? That's math,
right?
Right, and then so the universe is built of things anything that has to do with energy. So an energy and an energy make two energies, right? Two things will be two. That is math, right? Based on that, from us, our equations and everything else, it gets very, very complex, because now we're putting in our physics and what we believe that this is gravity. Right, so this falls at a certain rate, and then they do that. And that's the math. But there is other math. There are other things, in my opinion, in the universe, you know, dimensions and things that we do not understand.
Right,
you know, that we do not understand. that we are so arrogant as a culture that we just think, well, no, this is the way it is. Math is this. This is the math. Well, yes, in a way, but there it goes much deeper than that, because you don't know all the elements that are in the universe, right? We have right. we have the yeah. elements here, right? Right? And each element can, you know, you can put some of these elements together and some of them can blow up. Some of them can create this. Some of them can, you know, create computer chips, big boobs, whatever they can, you know, certain chips, certain things can create, you know, certain elements can create certain effects. Mm-hmm. Well, mm-hmm. if there's a universe out there, what are all those elements? There's probably thousands of other elements, millions of other elements, you know, trillions of other elements that we just have not explored. So this is where the technology, if you had an element called Blibli and another one called Dudu, and you put that together down there and it creates an energy source that can lift stones pretty easily.
Right.
You know what I mean? Just the way we can lift boobs pretty easily. You know, it's like, I think that that's where the conversation needs to be more in that area. You know, what is out there that we're not discovering yet? Oh, that we haven't discovered yet.
No, I agree. You know, there's, you make good points there. And again, my thing is, but even I go back to my point, even if that's the case, somewhere that was suppressed, right? Because then it gets to the point where all of a sudden nobody knows.
I think, yeah, but I think it's also not necessary. I think when you don't know, you guess.
True.
And then you follow one person that maybe has the loudest voice, the most money, the most influence, the most
to get the consensus.
Yeah. And then that becomes the word. You know what I mean? And I think that, yes. that becomes the danger of that becomes the danger today, as well as, you know, and I don't know if that's the full
it ends up well, you're right, because it ends up following a narrative.
Right.
And then that narrative is, okay, that's the way. And then it just, you know, again, we talked about it last week, how many narratives have been eventually disproven years later. Yeah. There's things that happened hundreds of years ago that are now realizing that, you know, there was not the case.
Correct.
So
yeah,
it is an interesting conversation.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, when we talk about not just, you know, if we have the conversation about the pyramids, that it has without using the stuff that we know, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Without using what we've been told, let's strip away all the things. Let's strip away, you know, the state slaves dragged the ramps. Let's mm-hmm. strip away all of the things that we have mm-hmm. already, someone has already speculated as being true. Right. If we push that all aside for a second, clean the slate, and then start throwing things on there that are really wild and that may be science fiction-like, you know, mm-hmm. and then start from that place, because we've already reached a place in society that, you know, we've gone to space, right? We have, you know, we have robots doing stuff. We have self-checkout. We have these technologies. We have this technology here of being live on the air. We have our cell phones being our sources of communication to the world, right? Technology has advanced pretty, pretty rapidly, right? So let's take it from where we are today, as opposed to taking it from where we're still using the same narrative that was put there 50 years ago when the pyramids were being dug out. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I think that that's not really a good way of doing it.
So why? Okay. So then if you look at it, let's look at it from the space perspective. Okay. So if, let's say they, whoever, you know, Billy and Joe came down in a disc.
Tony.
That's right. I forgot about Tony. He comes down and they show us this technology and they, you know, so. Here's what I would propose. Okay. So if they come down and obviously that's, it's a primitive culture back then. These guys fly down. That's it. They're gods.
Correct.
They're correct. Gods.
And that's one of the arguments that's been talked about.
So there's no, so these guys are like now doing this. Okay. Correct. And then now it's okay. Now we're going to build these things, maybe with the help, with Tony's help or not, or whatever the case may be. You could say maybe Tony helped them, or maybe Tony didn't help them. Maybe they did it for Tony.
Right.
Even after Tony left.
Right.
And then we're building this as a monument to them. And really, that's, you know, that's where all that stemmed from, because they came down and they gave them, you know, all this writing, and they gave them all these things. I mean, you have to open your mind, because when you, again, when you, we look at the writing in there, you see them pointing up in the sky. You see right. discs in the writing. You see right. things that look like crafts. You see there's even in, if you go into Australia, you go into some of these other places where they have hieroglyphics, they have helmets on.
Right. Helmets with like the five.
Yeah. They have like literally helmets, things sticking out of the helmets and all these things.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then I would say, well, then really that's what they were worshiping. Maybe that's really what it is.
Yeah. And I mean, that is one of the more popular conversations that people have had on it, or theories. I kind of do gravitate towards that theory, in the sense that if anyone did come down, even today, you know, not now, you know, the government and whatever, the Pentagon, you know, they're preparing us for some kind of a something landing, whether it's real thing or they're doing it. I don't know. I don't trust the government on certain things. But if they were to come down, you know, why are they doing it on the government's schedule? Why is the government not coming out and warning us that they might, why don't they just come down whenever they want? Right? Why are they up there going like, okay, so guys, we've been announced. They're talking about us in the Pentagon. I think we need to have an important meeting here and discuss, when are we going to land? Let's find out what they're saying next. You know what I mean? It's just, so dumb, because they think people are dumb. You know what I mean? Right. And they play on that, and they just use, and they try to manipulate because if it were actually up there, and they're up there right now, they can come down at any second right now. You know what I mean? Okay, taken away. guy comes in, right through the wall. Oh, I was just talking about you guys. So, you know, it's like, why would we even have to have the conversation? Why does the Pentagon have to come out and say anything? Just leave it alone.
Because it's only official if they say it.
Correct. That's my point on that. You know what I mean? Like, if 4,000 years ago, right, in the pyramids were around, when they were not around, these gods came down or these aliens came down. Yes, things were pretty primitive 4,000 years ago, as far as what we can tell, right? So somebody would look at that and say, oh my God, you know, those are gods. You know, those are gods. And then they come down, they're going to have obviously more advanced technology. They're going to be able to do a lot of things. And if they built these things for, I just think that it's that if they were gods, if they were from up there, that they would not necessarily come down and want these things built in their honor. You know what I mean? It's like, they can just go anywhere else. Like, why would they just want to have these three stones? They have all this technology to fly around through space, but now I'm going to get limestones in this shape and have that be in my honor. I mean, those are pretty arrogant aliens, if you ask.
We're assuming that they built it in their honor. We're just saying, okay, maybe right. that's the possibility.
Well, that's what we're saying.
But what I'm saying, but why wouldn't they? Because if we're seeing these things in other planets,
right,
then why wouldn't they come here and do it?
But why would they do it there? There's other reasons for it. The fact that it points north, you know, to true north, the fact that they all do that, they all kind of align, really, I mean, again, you know, there are people that are rolling their eyes and, you know, they're saying there's nothing up there. whatever. We're in a very, very different time today because there are amateur astronomers that have the technology that they had 100 years ago, 1,000 times advanced. These right. are people in their backyards. These are people that are millionaires that have built tremendous telescopes. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And if you look at MUFON, right, you know, MUFON, the organization, the, so, you know, they are in constant communication with astronomers all over the world, mm-hmm. you know, on what they found and things that they've seen and all that stuff. You know, it's not a mystery anymore that there is something out there simply because there are people out there that have the ability to look themselves. So correct. If an alien comes down, we're not going to think of them as gods anymore.
Correct.
Right. We're going to think of them as exactly what they are, beings from another world.
Yeah. But why is that? Because it's because society has already implanted what they think the meaning of God is.
Right. Right. Well,
right. Because think about it. If an alien comes down and he looks like the most, you know, the most powerful thing, we're not going to say no. He's a god, because it's already built in generationally.
Right. What modern
god
religion
is what, and it could be whatever god you want. I'm just saying that we all grow up with a certain theory of God in our heads, right? Sure. And that's it. You know what I'm saying? So if somebody comes down, we're never going to say they're gods because it's just not going to happen.
Correct. Because religion has already given us the idea of a god. Whatever religion you are, there is God, right?
Correct.
And if we can all agree, every religion has at least, if we can at least just agree to the fact that every religion just does acknowledge a creator of it all, right? Let's just say that. Let's not talk religion. We're only talking about what's the common denominator between all the religions is the fact that they agree that there is a higher power controlling things and making things. Now here you have somebody coming down. Now there are going to be a group of people that are always going to deny that person and just say that is the devil and that is it doesn't say it in the scriptures, or it does say it in the scripture then and all that stuff. And that's always going to be the case, you know. And then there are other people that are going to be like, well, we told you so. Here they are, you know. My fear, and not really a fear, but my interest is in how I don't want to say government because I hate it, using the government, but how the organizations that are manipulating, or how are they going to manipulate this to get a little bit more control over society by using this fear tactic, whether it's real or not. You know, I mean, think about it. 20 years ago, the Pentagon would never come out saying anything about aliens, right? 10 years ago, they would say stuff, but you would never see a guy on a podium saying we are preparing ourselves for a visit. And it wouldn't surprise us if the mothership is surrounding us right now, right? Which is the latest thing that they spewed. So there is something very interesting going on. And the fact that the pyramids were built so long ago, and we don't know how they were built. We really don't. I don't care what people say and what theories they all come up with. There really nothing has been solidified and nothing has been convincing enough to say this is the way they were built, right? But there they are, right? There they are. People visit them. Millions of people visit them every year, you know, and they're still unexplained. So there is some, there is that mystery of that right there.
But if you let me play devil's advocate for a second. If you look at the notion that people, you know, a people can, I don't know how you say it, but let's say harness a spiritual energy to create something.
Right. Okay?
And there are people in this world who defy logic, defy physics, defy all these things, whether it could be, you know, defying some kind of disease or defying the odds in life or doing these things. So couldn't a society who was motivated enough by their government to create something like this have the spiritual will and the means, even if we don't know what the technology is, to actually complete something like this, you know, where, again, in a space and time where people can create pretty much anything,
right,
if they really want to do it,
right?
You know what I'm saying? So to me, it's like you're saying, okay, you're denying the fact that human beings can really do unbelievable things in this world if they really set their mind to it. Now we have millions of them setting their mind to putting this thing together.
Right.
You don't think that they can actually get that done without help?
I don't. Our current society can do amazing things, right? We're huge.
Right, but we can't do that.
Right. We're huge, powerful spiritual beings, and we know we can do that. Our physical bodies, for whatever reason, the pyramids do not coincide with how we construct things today.
Yes,
we do not construct things today in that manner. We don't use those shapes. We don't use that kind of material. We don't use we don't have the 50 ton stones that we put into place for buildings. We build huge skyscrapers. Right. Much higher than the pyramids, right? I mean, we have in Dubai, right, the tallest building in the world, right? I mean, it's an incredible structure. But when you're talking about building something that's so unique in itself, you have to look at something otherworldly, in my opinion, that built it, not the beings that were here. And 4,000 years ago that were just happened to be here and that we developed from them and that we're now because we've lost the ability. If we had that, we'd have a lot more. I mean, and by the way, there are other pyramids in the world that are also incredible.
Of course, there's many, but I tell you why we couldn't construct something like that today, because man today,
the unions will not allow it.
The unions will not allow that. But man today, as presently constructed, would never have the motivation, would never have the will, would never have the whatever you want to call it, to do something like that. Like back then, that's all there was.
The incentive is not there.
The incentive, exactly. If you just look at society as a whole and how horribly unhealthy society is, they would never last to be able to build something like that. Okay. You know how many of us would be dying of heart attacks trying to push a 50 ton block? Okay. By the time we get one, we'd have to turn over like six times because everybody would drop dead.
Right.
What I'm saying is that back then when you have and again, I'm just looking at it from the person perspective.
Right, right.
Back then, when you look at it again, if you do it from the motivational perspective of the government saying that we need to construct this for the gods and you all need to do it or you're all dead, right? They have the motivation. They have and they don't have Netflix, so I assume they didn't have Netflix. At least maybe they had the DVDs, but
yeah, they weren't streaming back then.
Exactly. But the point is that they didn't have anything else. So these people dedicated their lives to do this. And again, I would think that if you dedicated your life to do this, you get enough people to dedicate their lives to this. I'm sure many died.
It was probably, I mean, if the theory that's been put out, right, in schools of how they were built, if that theory is actually legitimate, you know, then you're talking about that is their job. The guy gets up in the morning and he works on the pyramids.
Yes,
he's a lifter, he's a pusher, he's a dragger, he's a carver, whatever the position that he has one of the positions, and he goes out there with 600 to 1,000 men on a daily basis to move stones into place for this purpose, whether it's for the gods, whether it's for fear, whether it's their food, put food on the table. They were just regular employees, which has been one of the reasons, or has been one of the theories that put out, that these were just working men, and you know, were, you know, men and maybe women. I don't know. They only talk about men, but generally, men working and going out and supporting their families by working on the pyramids, you know, and they were part of a union, and they, you know, and they had, they had benefits, you know. When you think about it, though, they must have, if you have 1,000 employees, right? Which, and again, there, these are people that are coming in dying, and then other people are coming in, right? They're it's going on for a very, very, very long time. This isn't like a 1 year gig. This is a lifetime gig of moving stones. If you are doing that, and your motivation is to feed your family, you know, for the gods, you know, it's almost like you're working for the church, right? And you're putting everything you want into, because you believe so heavily that I'm doing God's work, right? So you go and you put yourself in that situation. But to have 1,000 controlled men to do this work for 20 years, the physics of getting these stones into place is where it all falls apart. Because it doesn't matter if you have 1,000 men. 1,000 men are not going to lift. How many stones did you mention earlier?
It was one could be upwards of 50 tons.
Well, one could be, but how many in total?
Oh, it was like 2.3 million.
2.3 million stones put into perfect shape. Now you have to think also, this was limestone, right? So these were beautiful when they were put in, right?
Yes.
They were beautiful. Yes. They were perfectly white. Now they're all, you know, obviously they're corroded, but they were beautiful. They were white. They must have looked incredible from a distance.
Yeah, because they had casing stone on the outside.
Yeah, casing stones on them. Right. I mean, it must have been just a gorgeous, gorgeous piece of architecture, right? So there was pride in building them. Somebody did care enough to be thoughtful, to want to create something that they knew was going to be long lasting and that was cared for. So I believe all that. It's the physics of it. That's where it goes out. If you had a bulldozer today, our most powerful bulldozer today would struggle at lifting some of these things. I mean, we have these big cranes, right, that are building. I've never operated a crane, but I do know that they lift heavy things. Can they lift a 50 pound into perfect location where there it's paper? You can't even, not even a paper. You said credit card earlier. No, a paper.
Paper can't fit through. Yes.
That's how tight that these seams were, you know? So that to me is where the arguments always fall because you're right. You can motivate a society to do something for the gods or for a god, you know, because there's passion behind it. We have people right now doing that, right? People give their lives for their religion and for their cause.
Correct.
But the physics of it, that's where it, I mean, our the church in the Saint, what the hell is it called? On 103rd Street in Lexington, it's a big church that's still being built to this day. It started like hundreds of years ago, and they're still putting stones into place. You know what I mean? You know, and it's kind of makes you think about they're doing it for their religion. So there is energy, there is power, there is the love of what they're doing. It's there, but they have the technology because these stones are like this big. They get them at Home Depot. Not a big deal.
What's interesting about another fact that I thought was, I didn't know, was very interesting. There's a pyramid called the Bent Pyramid.
Huh.
And it's the one that it starts out at one angle and then kind of folds in that way. And apparently, and again, this is what they say, that the mathematician or whoever, or the architect made a mistake.
Yeah.
And they actually said that it was going too steep. And if it went too steep, it would have Correct, because it already started. They found cracks in the area where it changed shape. So they said they literally had to change the shape to make it more narrow for it to, for the weight distribution.
Right.
Which is very interesting, because I always wondered why that pyramid was like that.
Yeah, it's probably because they didn't really learn anything from the from the original guys.
Right.
Like, didn't you? I told you. You know, Christina says these people had a vision and an amazing ability to get it done. I believe that.
Yes, they did.
The thing about it is ability. What was their ability to get it done? How? What was that ability? Not you know, their vision was definitely there, but the ability to get it done, like that to me is really remarkable.
It is, right? And again, you're dealing with, because it's not only also the ability to pull the stones and stuff like that. They had to create things in order to make sure that they have everything straight. Like, for example, here was another interesting one that I saw, that so they were trying to say, how would they cut the limestone?
Mm-hmm.
Right. I found this fascinating.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about saying, how would you cut limestone? You don't have a saw, right? Yeah. To cut hard enough to cut limestone.
Lasers.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So if we put aside the laser theory for a second, I thought it was interesting. So they did have copper, because they found copper in that time. So they apparently had a copper saw, but it didn't have teeth. So what they would do is they had a limestone, and they had the copper saw-like thing. And what they would use is sand. And the sand would go in between the saw and the limestone. Correct, because the sand had quartz in it. And the quartz is hard enough to cut the limestone. So they would put the sand on it and go back and forth, and the sand would actually cut the limestone.
How long
would it take to cut one?
It could take, I mean, I don't know. I mean, but again, you know, there are ways, and I know that there are ways to do certain things.
Right.
You know, you know, especially when you watch a lot of these programs and you see how they were very innovative in trying to help their communities and their livelihoods. Right. You know, physics is still cutting that, you know, like if you go to like what's it called, Pumacunta, what's it called, what's that other place? No. What was it? What did you say? No, that's not it. It's a place in what was it you said?
Place?
Yeah.
Place that I said?
Yeah, I thought you said the name of a of.
No, I said Kunta Kinte.
No, oh that. I've never been to Kunta Kinte. That was the name of our dog. We had a dog named. Well, I know I wasn't. It was a Kissy Kunte. That was our name of our dog.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because it was given to us by a guy from Africa, and his name was Kissy Kunte. So we called the dog Kissy, and it was short for Kissy Kunte. Anyway, let me see. There was a place called
Machu Picchu.
No, I can't remember. Anyway. We'll talk about it at some point, but
what did it have to do with my saw?
Because they cut. There were cuts in these stones that were thousands of years old that were perfectly not just cut on the sides, but within there were like lines within it, almost like decorations that were perfectly lined from one to another. Now another thing that people were saying was water. Yes. Like if you had high pressured water, you can cut through anything with really, really high pressured water. You know, again, you need the technology, and you need the not just the technology, the power, the energy source that would be able to shoot water that fast to make an incision on these heavy, heavy stones. So that again, that's now I think that these were. That there was a technology of some sort, and I think it could be sound. I think sound has always been a thing that people do not talk about. It. You think about a computer today, right? We take computer programs and we jot into them what we want the computer program to do for us, whether it's a writing thing. Well, right now we have our AI, right?
ChatGPT.
Yeah, ChatGPT. We just type in there, write a story about a dog and a small boy lost in the woods, right? And boom, there it is, right? So if you had the technology and you had sort of a computer system that you can type in and say, built a stone structure out of the limestone in that location, bring it to this location and make it these dimensions, and you hit enter, and then that energy source, whatever that may be, creates this whole thing and creates those things within very, very quickly, you know, because one of the things that we don't see in the pyramids as much are the slaves or the people dragging the stones into place.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, we don't see that. You would think somebody would document that. Now, there is some stuff of them working on things, but they're all working on smaller things. Yes. They're not working on like a 50 ton stone into place. You would think that would be the highlight of the whole thing. We just moved the stone. It was 50 tons. Jose, write that on the wall. Document it, you know, and put it up there. But nothing is documented on the building.
That's a good point.
So I think
that's a fair point.
You know, yeah. I think it was just built. And if you look at what's happening right now in Giza, you know, of course, all these companies, you know, they get in there and they start taking advantage of the tourism, you know, right? And yes. So if you go there right now, you'll see like things like the Giza Mall. There's a Target.
Yeah.
There's a Starbucks. Now, in the Target, there's only one outfit, and it's what that guy's wearing. That's all you can buy at the Target, but it's still a Target. The coffee has, you know, the Starbucks, they get everywhere, you know. So, I mean, it's really annoying. That's not there, everyone. People are going to go there thinking that. Wait, no.
The McDonald's. There's no McDonald's there?
Yeah, McDonald's was going to go there, but the meat quality is still too good in that country.
Oh, okay.
So they're waiting for it to really to get down to the quality of where you cannot eat them, where it makes you sick, and then they'll move in.
Had a burger from McDonald's back then when they built those things, it would still be perfectly preserved by today.
Yeah, and perfectly edible.
Yes.
And yeah, and probably better for you.
That's true. Than
today's stuff. But yeah, so anyway, I wanted to show this one photo which I thought was interesting, was the the inside. So you have these what they call air shafts. Mm-hmm. And then you have an entrance over here and goes all the way down to a subterranean chamber.
Right.
And in the subterranean chamber, they found like boxes of like old Christmas decorations, old photo albums. They found like a trunk full of old coats. Yeah, just anything that you put in the basement. Basically, they found a lot of those things down there. As you go up here in the Queen's Chamber, they did find an actual chef's kitchen in there. There's the stove. I mean, it's amazing what they have in there. I mean, it's incredible. Then the Grand Gallery. Yes. Yeah, the Grand Gallery is just an incredible place. That's where all the balls were held.
Yes.
Yeah, that's where.
Yes.
That's where Cleopatra got married. Then the King's Chamber. But you see how weird that this is all set up.
Yeah, exactly.
And they give it these names like King's Chamber, Queen's Chamber, Grand Gallery. Like, why, if you're going to build a structure where people are going to be buried in, right? Why not just dig straight down into a smaller hole, put them straight down, and then cover it up, and then put a big wall around it, and just have like we do today.
True.
Right? Isn't that what we do today? We just bury people straight down, right, 6 feet under. And then you put a, you know, if they're famous, you put like a monument around them, you know, some kind of monument and stuff. And then that gets protected. Why build this huge thing with all these entrances and all these, you know, here's the chamber for this and the chamber for that. And this is these are the air vents. So here, this is where the, you know, here's the HVAC. You know, I just it doesn't make any sense to me overall why that it was made for that. I think maybe later on they decided to hide gold in there or something, and maybe they hide a body in there.
But if you go with the theory of the ancient astronaut alien theory, then there had to be some purpose to these things.
Well, there is a purpose. We just don't know what the purpose is.
Right. But what I'm saying is for them to make it that way instead of just like,
I think it was an energy source.
It could be.
I think that possibility, I think, makes more sense. The fact that if you do find them on Mars, if you do find them on the moon, I don't know if you do or not. You can all research that yourself. There is a lot of stuff out there that is proven, or not proven, but that it is documented by NASA and these organizations, right? And they're identical, and they point towards one another, and they probably all have the same structures inside of them. Then I would say there would be it's a good possibility that could have been an energy source, like we talked about last time. We talked about Total Recall.
That's right.
You know, and in Total Recall, the premise was that there was no air, but there had been some type of an air device. But because the government decided to control the air, they would turn the air off if you didn't pay your.
Yes.
You didn't do what you were supposed to do. I mean, the government would never do
that. The government would never do that.
It's ridiculous. It's such a farce.
That's crazy talk, John. How dare you?
Yeah. But that in that film, you know, when they got shot out through a shaft, an air shaft, and Arnold Schwarzenegger landed, he put his hands.
2 weeks.
Yeah, and he put his hand in that thing and he turned it.
Yes.
Right. And then it opened up and then it shot that stuff into the air and created an atmosphere where then people were like, oh, they were all swollen. You would die, by the way, if your face got that big. You would never come back to normal. Anyway, that's movies. But, you know, and then the air came back in again. Why cannot Mars have? Mars has rivers, dried up rivers. There must have been water in Mars. There is ice in Mars, right? They found ice, right? Now, I don't know who cared. We have ice here, but maybe
Mars had global warming.
Maybe that's what did it.
Maybe it literally destroyed the planet as time went along.
They haven't checked the air to see if there's like a lot of hairspray particles and a lot of things that destroyed their ozone. And maybe they came here to try to survive.
Uh-huh.
They had to get out of there because that planet was dying. So they came here.
Are you saying that that is no, you can't be saying that. I mean, you're not saying that they colonized here, are you?
Yes. So then they came. Oh my god. Why would they look like that? Why can't they just come down, right? I always say that about aliens. People, you know, all it's always like, why don't they just come down and go, hey, oh, hey guys.
Yo, what's up?
Yeah, so I was up there. The planet was kind of screwed up, and we just thought we'd come down here. I learned your languages because I'm pretty smart, so I learned the language. That's why I'm talking like this. I'm really hungry. You guys got anything I could eat?
And you can say where you can ask them, where are you from? And they say Mars. You say, what part? 125th Street.
Louisa. Yeah. So, but I do believe, and as you know here, anyone that's still watching, and we appreciate you hanging around here, you know, what we do here is we actually just solve these mysteries.
Yes.
Once and for all. And I think George and I, we solved the mystery during the last few minutes here. Everything started on Mars. They ruined the ozone layer on Mars by driving around their cars. There was a guy like an Elon Musk who created an electric car, but it was a little too late, and they couldn't get it going. People still wanted to throw garbage and to do all the stuff that's destroying the environment, right? The planet was dying. They had to figure out where it was. They found this little blue planet here. Now they had all these dinosaurs that were here, right? So they had to get rid of the dinosaurs first. So what they did was they shot a meteor. And the meteor, they shot these big lasers, and the meteor created this huge cloud over the earth, which killed most of those large. You can't live in a place where you're going to have a pterodactyl or a brontosaurus or, yeah, or whatever, you know.
Come, hey, when that happens,
you know what I mean, you just can't live in a place like this. You got to get rid of them. So they got rid of them, you know. It took them a while. It took a while. They knew they had at least a couple hundred years of oxygen left. They did that. Then they just all got on a big ship. They landed here. They colonized here. They built the pyramids here, the same ones that you find on Mars. Now, the funny thing is that they were originally on the moon, but they ruined the moon. So yeah, from the moon, they went to Mars. From Mars, they went here. And now it looks like probably we're going to end up back on Mars again eventually, because we're, you know, this is probably going to go away at some point. Although I have high expectations for this civilization, that I think we're going to be the ones that handle it and that fix it the right way.
Well, John, if you handle it the way you actually started this whole thing and you've solved that mystery, if you handle it the same way, then I have no doubt that we're going to be
in good shape. And it's going to be glorious. It's going to be glorious. All right. Well, there's our cover of the pyramids. We want to thank everybody for joining us. We know that you learned a lot, and we know that you're probably overwhelmed with all the information that we've given you today. I hope you took notes. And you will join us again next week. And next week we're going to be talking about the moon landing.
That's going to be fun.
Yeah. So the moon landing, and there's a lot of information on the moon landing, and I have a lot to say on that as well. And I'm sure George does. So I hope you would join us next week. Tell your friends to come join us, and let's talk about the moon landing. And by the way, if you're interested, if you know a lot about this subject and you're still here, or if you have a friend that knows a lot about the subject and they want to actually come on for a few minutes and give us their point of view, we'll send them the link. They'll come on. They'll be our guest, and we'll actually talk a little bit about it. We'll take all opinions, and we'll take all conversation. You know, anyone that's interested in having a conversation, we'd love to have that. So
Buzz Aldrin.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. He'll definitely, yeah. Yeah. So I want to thank everybody for tuning in. George Batista, thank you as always. And you, for all of us here at Counterparts, I want to thank you. We'll see you all again next week, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, counterpartsshow.com. By the way, check out our new website. We got a lot of cool things on there as well. And Spotify, if you just want to watch our faces, you only want to listen to us, you can watch it. You can listen to us on Spotify and iTunes and all the other platforms. And from our website, counterpartsshow.com, you'll be able to follow us there. So, and send us messages as well. So thank you, everybody. See you soon. And as always, peace. Yeah.